Right now it is time that we're joined by Brian Ross and Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning. We take a look at news stories and peruse what's happening around the world. Good morning, Brian.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I was talking with Jill Goodman, our co-founder, about was the plethora of ransomware attacks. I don't think people realize. Jill put together a little chart because we noticed that there's been ransomware attacks against a meat processing plant in Australia. MTA officials have seen a cyber attack. The harm they say was limited. Even Martha's Vineyard, the ferry, was disrupted by a ransomware attack. I mean, this is a problem that is only going to get bigger and bigger for us all.
Absolutely, and of course, it just shows we are defenseless at the moment. There's no way to prevent this because if you haven't stored up your data in a cloud somewhere or with some sort of security, you are very vulnerable. Now, you can see who's not being attacked, and that includes banks, because they have really gone out of their way to establish a strong security against this very thing. But those that have tried to get by on the cheap are going to get hit. And part of it is, talking to experts, Marshall, is that insurance companies do write policies. They will pay the ransom. So as long as the ransom is being paid, there'll be more essential online kidnapping.
It's an amazing thing. We've been asked to join the cloud a million times. We operate our own cloud internally. We have, I think it's 4 terabytes of storage, and it's completely offline. It's on our own intranetwork. And that's the way we decided to do it because we're small enough where we can do that. I mean, every couple of years we have to add another terabyte, but we're small enough where we can do that. So, and also we're small enough where somebody really is not going to seek us out to find music and commercials that are stored on hard drive.
Right.
But it is a perplexing, it's a very expensive proposition if you're going to do it properly.
And, you know, you can see that the criminal groups and perhaps some state-run groups are flexing their muscles here to go after the subway system in New York or the ferries in Nantucket. You know, they can figure that out. But when they hit major hospitals or pipelines, as it did with Colonial, and there Colonial made the argument they're going to have to pay, and they did pay. You tell me, if you're out to seek a ransom for attacking American big companies, it's pretty easy. I think you can see if you're sitting in a criminal group in Eastern Europe or Russia or China, it's there for the taking.
Look at any criminal group now. You don't have to deal in drugs. No, I just sound, I'm not, you know, that's, but it's true. I mean, you can be far more profitable, hire yourself a couple of really whiz people that hate the establishment, and you can make millions and millions and millions.
Right. Well, these groups are at the moment beyond the reach of American law, even if they can figure out who they are. It's very hard to track the money. But again and again, what I'm being told by the experts, like Richard Clark, who's the first country's first cyber czar, is as long as insurance companies are prepared to write policies and pay ransoms, this will continue.
Yeah, it's a problem that we're obviously going to visit from time to time to time. Well, let's move on. I want to go on to Israel because this is a significant moment in Israel where opposition parties, and I'm not just talking about opposition parties, but I'm talking about opposition parties way to the right and way to the left have gotten together to form a government to oust Bibi Netanyahu.
Yes, indeed, and the likely candidate, Naftali Bennett, who was an aide to Netanyahu, is even more to the right than Netanyahu, and that's what the new leadership of Israel will be.
It's going to be interesting to see, and Netanyahu is still trying to derail it, but I think that he's just run out of steam. I mean, if whether you like Bibi or you hate him, he's prolonged this farther longer than anybody thought, and he's prolonged it obviously to the detriment of the state of Israel.
I think that's probably true, and one of his goals, of course, is to avoid being convicted on corruption charges and sent to jail, which he now faces if he loses power. It's a serious problem. You know, at the moment there'll probably be no real blow up because the new government takes power, but in the long run, if you read this morning various accounts from Europe and the Middle East and in Washington, you know, they're not looking forward to dealing with this new leader any more than Netanyahu. He'll be even more intransigent than Netanyahu, they believe.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's come back to our country here, because you mentioned corruption probes. We have two major ones that are going on, of course, one against the Trump Organization, possibly Donald Trump. We don't know, but we know definitely involves the Trump Organization, but there could be other ones. And, of course, the real black eye for the country, and that is what's coming on part of the Getz probe, which is now expanded itself. I mean, this one's a real black eye for Congress and the Senate.
Well, he's been a black eye and a shame for Congress for a long time, and I don't think he's getting too much support from his fellow Republicans. He's going down a sinkhole very, very fast as the evidence is building. We've talked now that even calls he made to potential witnesses could essentially represent obstruction of justice. So that's a serious problem. And, you know, for Mr. Trump and his organization, you know, it's even worse for him. You know, who knows what's going to happen with the Manhattan District Attorney, but they have got a grand jury convened. They are looking hard at getting his sort of his number one financial guy, this guy Wesselberg, to testify against Trump. And he knows where the money has been spent, where the corners have been cut. So that's building on him. And, of course, you saw this week Trump's now trying to sell his fancy hotel in the old post office building in Washington, D.C. The organization is in financial bad straits, huge numbers of loans coming due. For Mr. Trump, these have to be pretty dark days, and now he had to shut down his blog because nobody was reading it. He was too embarrassed to have this essential ratings failure online. This is a tough time for Mr. Trump. No one's shedding any tears, but that's the case.
All right. Now, you at the Hotchkiss Library yesterday finished with from what I'm hearing from people, a pretty great presentation last night. One of your friends.
Well, no, actually, it's tonight.
It's tonight. Pardon me. It's tonight. But a lot of people are talking about this. The sign up must be really big.
It's very big. We're hoping to have it. Looking at the weather, check your forecast. But hoping to have it outside. If not, we have a Zoom backup. But Barry Meyer, who you've talked with, is a former New York Times, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. He's written books about the FBI agent who went missing in Iran, Bob Levinson. He wrote the first definitive book about the painkillers, the OxyContin and Sackler family scandal. And now he's written something called Spooked, which goes into these private spy groups, including a Fusion GPS, which produced the so-called dossier on Donald Trump paid for by the Democrats and the Hillary Clinton campaign. It's a great book. I'm actually quoted in there a couple of times. I gave him some insight as well. But he's got a real handle on what happened there. And he debunks much of what the so-called dossier found. You know, they found in broad strokes, yes, the Russians were involved in trying to alter the outcome of the election. But in terms of the specifics and the specific charges against Trump and Trump loyalists, from his point of view, that falls flat. And he goes into the whole thing, how it happened. And what he sees is kind of an unholy alliance between journalists who take this information from these groups and kind of launder it and then put it out there without knowing exactly what they're doing. So lots to talk about, and that'll be tonight at the library, part of our continuing series of having great authors. You know, we got hit hard by the pandemic, but the library, through Gretchen Huckmeister's great work and Holly Nelson, I mean, we've kept putting out great programs, and we're gearing up big time for even more programs in the coming year.
Now, the reason I got confused is I just did an interview yesterday with Peter Steiner, who's going to be having a virtual hometown book launch. I mean, you really, the Hotchkiss Library is putting together some thunderously big and well-known people. I mean, Barry Meyer was on TV last night, as a matter of fact, being interviewed. I mean,
oh yeah, he's been on Tucker Carlson, MSNBC. A lot of talk about his book. It'd be fascinating. You know, there's been some criticism of it from right-wing and left-wing groups, but I think he plays it right down the middle. But to your larger point, you know, we live in a great part of the world up here in Northwest Connecticut, and there are so many talented people who are prepared to come and speak to the library. I mean, people who live here should appreciate just how lucky we are to be in this idyllic place with talented people who share their interests and their intellect with us. And that's one of the reasons that the library really has become a beacon for that kind of thing.
Well, I'll tell you, I give the board a lot of credit, and now the library is going to get their expansion, and which they should have gotten many years ago. But the libraries around here are an important, integral part of life and have been since I was a kid, and they're only more important now, not only with books, but with the knowledge and information and the access to information they bring.
Absolutely, and you know, it's more than just books now. It's a community center. Important meetings take place there, book clubs, gatherings. It's just a place for people to go. There's no other place like that, really, in Sharon. So it's an important part of the community, and hats off to the First Selectmen and the others who have regularly supported the library with good funding, and then a great fundraising campaign led by the library board. So, we're cooking on all cylinders. Ground to be broken at some point this summer, probably, on the addition, which will make it much easier for people to have access who are in wheelchairs or in walkers or just with baby strollers. I'm very excited about everything that's happening there.
All right, Brian, we'll check with you next week.
You bet, Marshall. Good to be with you again this morning.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find Brian once again, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.